You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, they did it. They blew their three-game lead and lost the division. They finished the season going 2-3 in their final five games. They did make the playoffs as a wild card team. Congratulations. But the promise of what could have been is a dream of the past. Because as you kind of look at where the team is right now, it paints a pretty somber picture, Brain. It's pretty somber. Dolphins lose 21-14 in week 18 to the Buffalo Bills, the four-time defending champions of the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills. And the Dolphins limp into the playoffs as the sixth seed and will play on Saturday night on Peacock. Exclusively on Peacock, unless you live in Kansas City or Miami-Dade and Broward County, then you get the game on NBC. But otherwise, the game will be exclusively on Peacock. Dolphins go into the playoffs as the sixth seed, a wild card team, but, you know, and that's all well and good, but it's not about what they have done. It's a matter of what they could have done and didn't do, Brian.
Yeah, the team fell short. This is a massive collapse. No matter how you look at it, no matter how you try to sugarcoat it, people are bending over backwards right now to try to find silver linings. And I'm not going to tell you how to move through that process or, you know, what your thought process should be. What I would say is it's extremely difficult to find those silver linings. And I think that those silver linings are pretty worthless right now. I think that this team was built with the expectation of being a Super Bowl contending team. And we pretty much bought into the idea that this was the best team that the Dolphins have assembled in 30 years and at least 20 years. And frankly, this team looks a lot like those teams from about 20 years ago. To say a team that with a couple weeks to go in the regular season, you had very high aspirations for and now just feels like a fringe playoff team that's on borrowed time. That, you know, whether you think that they're going to beat the Chiefs or not, realistically, this team probably doesn't. I don't know that this team has more than a week left. But at most, they've got 2 weeks left. And there is virtually no expectation at this point that this team can even make any sort of run to make you think that they are a semblance of a Super Bowl caliber team.
It's true. It's true. It's a bad time as a Miami Dolphin fan. I mean, it's a bad time relative to where it was a month ago, because a month ago, all of us were feeling a lot better about everything. But I mean, how many Miami Dolphin seasons a month before they ended did you feel a lot better about than where you did when they ended? It's a pretty same old Dolphins thing to do. Yeah, most of them. Right. Exactly. So we're going to talk about this game against Buffalo and the fallout from this game against Buffalo, and we'll maybe we're not going to look too much ahead to the game against Kansas City, because we'll have another show later this week to preview that game. But we are going to talk about, you know, what went wrong in this game and, you know, some of the themes from throughout the season. But before we get into that, a reminder to everybody, if you haven't done so already, make sure you're following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I am at AmplifiedToRock. He is at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can also download, rate, review, and subscribe to every episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure that you are subscribed to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com, search for Dolphins Talk. You'll find us. Subscribe to the channel. Turn on notifications so you're notified every time we go live. Also, shout out to everybody watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. We're glad to have you with us, and a shout out to everybody as well listening after the fact on podcast form. We appreciate it, and we are glad to have you with us. Make sure you're also visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins all the way through the very bitter end of this season, however close or far away that may be. And into the offseason, we'll have you covered over there at DolphinsTalk.com. And by the way, if you haven't done so, go ahead and smash that thumbs up button underneath this video. Smash that like button. We appreciate it. Leave us a comment. We appreciate it very much. Brian, the Dolphins lose 21-14. A game in which they led 14-7 at halftime. And now, one of the narratives that has developed here, and that I feel like people are leaning on a little bit to try to make an excuse, if you will, for this Dolphins game, is that, well, the Dolphins are so injured. They had so many injuries to overcome, and, you know, it was just impossible. And to that I say, this defense, with all of the injuries that it had, gave up 14 points. The defense gave up 14 points. So you're not going to hang this one on the defense, because this defense, as shorthanded as it was, put up a hell of a fight. I mean, incredible game by Jerome Baker. By the way, Jerome Baker, add him to the list of players now who is out for the season. If you haven't heard, Jerome Baker had surgery on his wrist, and his season is now over. Andrew Van Ginkle got hurt in this game, and they have not said his season is definitively over, but they said it is probably over, which means the only chance he has of seeing the field again this season would be if the Dolphins made the Super Bowl. And even then, it sounds like it might be a little bit of a stretch. And of course, they also lost Cameron Good, who blew a patellar tendon in his knee and is now out for the season. So, I mean, there's that old song, can't remember the band, but Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Oh, Disturbed. Or no, yeah, well, Drowning Pool. Was it Drowning Pool?
Well, all the Dolphins are doing is letting the bodies hit the floor, because they're just piling up everywhere. I mean, it's to the point where the bodies can't hit the floor anymore, because there's already too many bodies on the floor.
The bodies are just hitting other bodies.
Yeah, their bodies are just falling onto other bodies at this point. It's a bad situation for the Dolphins defense. But be that as it may, that's not why the Dolphins lost this game. Sure. Would the Dolphins have been better if Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips were out there? Sure. But the defense as it was only gave up 14 defensive points. And you gave up, and two of the touchdowns for Buffalo were flukes. Okay? As much as I don't like Danny Crossman any better than the other guy, but Cam Good blows out his knee and takes out a player falling down, and that is what allows the Buffalo player a clear lane to return that punt for a touchdown. Like, that's just a very fluky thing. And then you've got a batted pass at the line of scrimmage that floats up into the air and somehow falls into the arms of former Miami Dolphin Trent Sherfield for a touchdown. Those are two fluky plays. I'm not hanging this loss on the defense, Bryn.
No, you can't hang the loss on the defense. I mean, look, did they get overmatched? Yeah, they got absolutely overmatched. They had a really difficult time getting off the field, but they were overmatched. They were extremely undermanned, and they fought extremely hard to keep the Dolphins in the game, and they did it. You know, some of those turnovers are, you know, Josh Allen inflicted turnovers, but also some of them were great plays. The strip sack from Christian Wilkins, phenomenal play. Was the interception by Eli Apple like anything special? No, but it was caused by putting pressure on Josh Allen. I thought Zach Sealer and Christian Wilkins played huge in this game. I thought Jerome Baker, that tackle to end the first half,
unbelievable,
was one of the potentially one of the plays of the year. If the Dolphins find a way to win this game, you're looking back at that play and you're saying that is one of the plays of the game and one of the plays of the season. There was plenty of effort. I mean, Brandon Jones flying around making tackles. This team had no business only giving up 14 points defensively. I mean, frankly, they should have been blown out, but they showed a lot of guts. They showed a lot of heart, and they kept the Dolphins in this game, and the offense failed to uphold their end of the bargain.
So let's talk about the offense failing to hold up their end of the bargain, because for me, that's really the big story. Coming out of this game, that's where the Dolphins really fell short, in particular in the second half. Because I think in the first half, the Dolphins did an excellent job. I thought the misdirection game that McDaniel had drawn up, and this was building off of what they did in the Ravens game, mind you. And I thought the way that they put that together for Achan to beat those defenders to the edge was awesome. And a lot of the blocking on those runs was fantastic. And I thought you really saw the benefit of having Rob Hunt back in action in this game. And in the first half, we saw the Dolphins run the ball effectively. They had 101 yards of rushing in the first half of this game. Then in the second half, the Dolphins got away from it. And Mike McDaniel, as he said in his post-game press conference, he basically said that they started giving a lot of single safety looks and we had to pass. And I think what it was Buffalo daring the Dolphins, they're saying, okay, no, you're going to pass on us and we're going to dare you to pass, as opposed to allowing the Dolphins to run. But I don't know. My personal thinking on this is, yes, they're giving you that look that you think you can pass against. And to be fair, the Dolphins, had they executed correctly, it wouldn't have been so bad. You know, because a lot of this was dropped passes or passes not hitting the mark. And that was part of the reason that it failed. But the fact is, you got completely away from your game just because the defense gave you another look. And my thinking is, I know they're giving you a different look, but you know you can run the ball. So run the ball until they show you that they can stop it, regardless of the look that they're giving you.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, did they need to run the ball more? Yes. But are we making too much of this? Yes. Because this whole idea that the Dolphins didn't run the ball, you know, in the entire third quarter. Well, yeah, they didn't run the ball in the entire third quarter because they had one possession in the third quarter that went three and out. Nobody's going to be upset.
Four offensive plays in the third quarter.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to be upset that they ran a screen pass for 5 yards to start the quarter. Now, would you have liked them to run on second and five? Sure. But is that where we're at right now? It's like, we didn't run on second and five, so that's the reason why we lost the game, because we didn't run the ball on second and five. At some point, you need to get first downs, and you need a larger sample before you can really look at it and say balance. Now, what I'll say is that when you have those three plays, a screen pass that goes for 5 yards, then on second and five, you end up checking down to Julian Hill. It gets you like a couple yards, and then you have third and three, and you don't want to run the ball on third and three. I totally get not wanting to run the ball on third and three, because if it falls short, it looks extremely conservative and we're criticizing Mike McDaniel the other way around. But after that set of downs, and after the Bills then go on a 79-yard drive, or what? No, it wasn't a 79-yard drive. It was a 49-yard drive that chews up 7.5 minutes, and it ends with the momentum-changing play with the strip sack by Christian Wilkins. And the defense has now been on the field for basically an entire quarter. At that point, I'm probably thinking, all right, we got away from what we did well in the first half. We got away with it. The defense did their job. Now we need to kind of chew up some clock and we need to get back to basics. So to come out on the very next play and throw the ball, granted, if Tua makes a good pass, the call doesn't get overturned because you assume that Tyreek Hill is going to catch the ball, although that's an assumption that we probably shouldn't make at this point. And now all of a sudden, you know, you're in, you know, that gets called out. Then you have a penalty. Now you're first and 15. You're playing behind the sticks. The thing that drives me crazy is that, okay, you didn't run the ball. Script didn't work. You got behind the sticks. Second and 30. This is when you're going to decide to run the ball on second and 30. And then obviously, like, I mean, you get 7 yards and that's not doing anything for you. Now it's third and 23. You're not going to run the ball there. And then they don't get the ball again until the game is now tied at 14. And then they try to run the ball twice in a row and it doesn't work. And now you're on third and 9. So you're obviously going to pass the ball there. And then they don't get the ball again until they're down by 7. And they're, you know, at that point, probably thinking this might be our last drive of the game. And we can't really afford to chew up a bunch of clock because we need to try to score, get a stop, and get the ball back to try to win it. So I understand not even just the defense giving you the looks that they're giving you. I understand that given the game script, why things got away. Do I wish they would have run the ball maybe one or two times that they didn't run the ball on those two drives? Yeah, and that's disappointing. But at the end of the day, it comes down to execution. And if you're going to put the ball in your quarterback's hands, and we're going to sit here and we're going to say that Tua Tagovailoa is a franchise quarterback, then don't you want to put the game in your franchise quarterback's hands? Like, nobody's sitting here and saying, like, yeah, the game plan is to throw the ball 50 times and run the ball 15 times. Nobody's sitting here and saying that. But in a 50-50 situation on a first down, and the opposing team is daring you to throw the ball, are we really mad that the coach put the game in his quarterback's hands? I can't kill him for it.
Fair enough. But what about the quarterback?
What about the quarterback? Tua, I thought, after the interception on the first drive, played a good first half.
I think that's fair.
And in the second half, was bad. He made no plays that made he made no plays when the Dolphins needed him to make plays. Now, well, that's not true. That was in the first half, the big throw that he had to, I think, Cedric Wilson. What I'll say is this. He made some throws in the second half, particularly on the last drive of the game, that were big-time throws that big-time receivers should catch. And if they do, it changes the entire narrative of how that game ended.
That's true. That's true. If Tyreek Hill catches that pass where the pass interference is called.
I'm not even talking about that. If he
catches that pass, it's a touchdown.
If he catches that one, it's a touchdown. And that obviously changes the whole narrative. But I'm talking about even the, you know, I don't remember what down it was, but it gives him a first down and he just drops it. Was it an easy catch? No. But is it a catch that Tyreek Hill has made all season? Is it a catch that with your season on the line and the quote unquote offensive player of the year, who just a few weeks ago we were saying is an MVP candidate, is that a catch that he needs to make? Yeah, absolutely. Even before then, there was a throw into a very tight window. And would it have been a great catch? Yeah, it would have been a great catch. But Tyreek jumps up. It hits him in both hands. It's between three defenders. It's right on the money. And he can't come up with it. These plays are the difference between winning and losing games. And granted, Tua is not by any means above criticism, because at the end of the day, he still had ample opportunities to make other throws, and the throw that he made to seal the game on a second down with really plenty of time left was a terrible decision and a terrible throw. So Tua came up short. He didn't get any help in a game where he really needed to get help, because he was already out one other receiver. And we've seen that this receiving core outside of Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle has nothing. And you needed your best players to come up big, because you were missing a lot of players. So who were your best players that played in this game that needed to come up big? Tua didn't come up big. Tyreek Hill did not come up big. Devon Achane came up big. Christian Wilkins came up big. Zach Sealer came up big. Those are pretty much it. Those are
Jerome
all
Baker
your
came up big.
Yeah, Jerome Baker came up big with the one big play.
I thought he had a very good game, actually, more than just that one play.
He had a good game.
He had a very good game, and he was being relied upon to do a lot of things that he has not typically been called upon to do in this defense. On the pass rushing responsibilities that he had, I thought he had a very good game indeed, Mr. Baker. And it's too bad that we're now not going to see him for the rest of the year. So, yeah, so here we are, Brain. The Dolphins blow this game and now lose the division. So this is where I guess there's really only one thing left to do at this point. So let's
win
do
the
it.
Whole damn thing.
Yeah.
Let me check your pulse if you're not fired up.
That's right. It is once again time for a Dolphins Talk pulse check. This is where we ask you for one word to describe how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins following Sunday night's loss to the Buffalo Bills. And it wasn't just the loss of a game, it was a loss of the division. So tell us, what is your one word to describe how you're feeling? Brain, I'll start with you. If you're watching live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, let us know in the comments. If you're watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, let us know in the comments. If you're listening in podcast form, come back over to the YouTube page. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review. Let us know. How are you feeling? What's one word? Give it to me, Brain.
I'm grieving. It's a process. It's not always linear, so I'm not 100% sure what step in Dabda I'm in. I think I'm somewhere probably between depressed and acceptance at this point. I think if I'm being real with myself, I think in that game on Sunday, I was probably going back and forth between denial, anger, and bargaining. You know, trying to convince myself that there was a way for this team. But I think I always kind of knew. And now, you know, I probably spent the majority of the evening and morning just kind of depressed about it. because I know that they're done. And now I'm just kind of accepting it. So I'm probably somewhere between there, but I'm in the grieving process because at the end of the day, there's no real hope for this team. This team is not winning anything of note. Now, if you want to hang your hat and say, we need to win a playoff game for this season to be a success, I feel you. I could get behind that notion. I just don't know that it's one. I have no faith that it's going to happen at this point. And two, if it does, it would feel good, but it would really be like a consolation prize. And then you'd end up getting just your doors kicked in Baltimore, and it would feel very early 2000s Dolphins to get a hard fought road playoff game and then get your doors blown in the following week by a real Super Bowl contender. So yeah, I'm in the grieving process. I'm kind of ready to turn the page on this season, but we've got that one game left and it's just kind of like sitting there. And it's just, I kind of just want it to be over with so that they can mercifully just end this thing, because at this point it's kind of torturous. But you know, we'll see what they can do, if they can salvage something to give us one last feel good moment in what has otherwise been, an epic failure of an end of a season. So yeah, I'm already grieving the loss of this season.
I understand that, grieving the loss of what might have been, what could have been for this Miami Dolphins team in this season. Let's take a look at some of the responses that we got on Twitter. Jim Lambert, disappointed. Finn Runner, melancholy. Susanna is frustrated. Ian Carter is downhearted. Finn Gould is bummed. David Jappy, devastated. T. Hutch, disinterested. Robert Rosario is uninspired. Christopher Cobb, despondent. James Vernon, despondent. Mark Coleman, frustrated. Eric, frustrated. Nick, deflated. Mike Ferguson, defeated. NorCal Finns and Suns fan, repetitive. Nick is tired. William V. is duped. Tanya is sad. T. Jizzle is lost. Lutze Kefferstein is sad. Carl Corson, disappointed, awful, exhausted. You get the feeling here. Everybody finished is Kubinator. Yeah, man, it's all kind of the same theme over there on Twitter. Let's see what some of the comments here are in the chat, because I think we've got a bunch over here as well. Let's see. We've got hoodwinked, speechless, disgusted, unaroused, disgusted, scammed, debacle, disappointed. Everybody is kind of done, annoyed, fraud, dejected. Oh, this one's suicidal. Yeah, come on. It's football at the end of the day. Let's relax a little bit. Acceptance, disgusted, angry, flatlining. Yeah. Distraught, destroyed. Yeah, this is a lot of them here. It's everybody is in the same kind of headspace here. And I'll tell you what, Brain, I'll tell you how I'm feeling right now. I'm deceived. I was deceived by this team. Because there was a time where I really thought that this was a version of the Miami Dolphins that truly had it in them to be something different. And when they won that game against Dallas, I really thought that that was the potential to be a real turning point for this team, because it was a hard-fought win. They went out there, they got the late game drive, they executed, they did what they needed to do, and they won that game. But then they got blown out of the water versus Baltimore, which, no shame in that, but the injuries, man, that broke your heart. And then, be that what it may, in that game against Buffalo, it was a game that was right there to win. And they once again failed. because the big guys, as you mentioned earlier, that needed to come up big in a big game, once again in a big game, failed to come up big. And so the Dolphins lost, and I feel deceived. It's not over because they technically could still go into Kansas City and get a win, and they could get the playoff win that I think most Dolphin fans said, and certainly something that I said, that they needed to do this season. I don't think I predicted the Dolphins were going to win the AFC East this year. I don't think I did, but I did say that they would make the playoffs and that they would win a game in the playoffs. And I think I predicted that they would go to the Super Bowl is what I eventually predicted. In fact, that I think I might have predicted that they were going to win the Super Bowl. How much did I really mean that? Who knows? But I certainly expected them to make the playoffs, and they've done that. And, you know, they still have the potential of being able to win a playoff game in Kansas City, but that is a tall order. And if they can do that, you know, maybe I could step back and feel a little bit better about the season. In fact, I would venture so far as to say if they did win that game, that would actually really show me something, because of specifically how much this team is beat up and the fact that they've struggled to win these games on the road in the wintertime. Forget it. You know, it's like, I feel like there's no chance that they're going to win that game. But if they go out there and they do it, that could go some way into turning around how I'm viewing this season, at least in the moment. And maybe it's because I'm still wrapped up in the emotion of losing that game on Sunday night and losing the division. But regardless, I'm feeling a little bit deceived by the Miami Dolphins, Brian.
Yeah, I get it. What I'll say is, yeah, to a certain extent, I feel tricked by this team, but also would have been, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that injuries are the reason why they lost that game, but yep. I think injuries severely lowered the ceiling for what this team could be.
100%.
And so it's difficult to see them reach the points that we were trying to see them reach, or the peaks that we were hoping to see them reach, with the injuries that they had. And we were just kind of all year, we were sitting here with these injuries just saying, oh, well, they're protecting these injuries so that they're healthy at the right time. And we got to see them healthy for like all of like 2 weeks. And then it just started falling apart again.
You had most of the Jets game on Black Friday before Phillips went out and Holland went out.
That was basically it.
Yeah, you got the Raiders game and the Jets game on Black Friday. That was what you got.
Yeah, so you got basically 2 weeks. And then from the end of the Jets game, where you lose Phillips and then Holland, to the Titans game, where that's where Tyreek really suffers his injury. That's nagging him the rest of the way. And, you know, I mean, that Titans game was crazy, because like everybody, they literally had like a guy go out like every single play. And
yeah, lost Connor Williams in that game.
Yeah, lost Connor Williams. Liam Eichenberg was battling through an injury the rest of the season after that game. We didn't even talk about like Robert Hunt, I think, got injured came back from his hamstring injury in that Jets game again, and then re-aggravated his injury. So it was just like every single week you're losing another guy or another two guys. It's just at a certain point, you know, does it even matter? Like, would it have been nice to win this game against Buffalo? It would have been really nice to win this game against Buffalo, because it would have given you a pathway, where I think a very conceivable pathway to actually making it to an AFC championship game, which this team hasn't done in over 30 years. But that said, even this game against Buffalo, I mean, it took Buffalo leaving 20 points on the board for the Dolphins to even have a chance to be in this game. You're talking not just the, you know, the end of the half,
but you're talking the interception by Josh Allen in the first quarter, which leaves 3 points on the board at least. Then you're talking about Josh Allen overthrowing Stephon Diggs, who has Jalen Ramsey torched by about 10 yards. That's an easy touchdown. And he overthrows him. That's another 7 points. That's 10 points. James Cook dropping a touchdown. That's 17 points. And then Josh Allen fumbling in the red zone in field goal range. Granted, great play by Christian Wilkins, but a play that should never happen to a quarterback. You know, that's another 3 points. That's 20 points that were left on the field by the Buffalo Bills, and you still lost by 7 points. Yep. At home.
Yeah.
The fact is that was a great effort by the Dolphins defense to try to hang into that game and to keep the Dolphins in the game. But realistically, if they play that game another 5 times, the majority of the time the Bills are winning that game by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. It's just I don't know any other way to say it, Brandt. They're the same old Dolphins, aren't they?
They truly are. They truly are. And maybe they wouldn't be if they weren't injured so badly, but that's part of it because that's what we do. That's what we do now. We get injured. We buy low on guys because we perceive the value.
There it is.
In, you know, the high ceiling players with the injury concerns. And when everything is healthy, we look like geniuses. And then when they get hurt, which they inevitably do, we go back to being the same old Dolphins.
And this is the car analogy that I made last week on the show. You put all of these parts together and you know that these parts have a reputation for breaking down. You can't be surprised when they break down. That's part of it. Okay. Yes, there is a certain degree of randomness when it comes to injuries. But when you bring in guys, like I'll make a poker analogy, right? The idea of playing poker, like Texas Hold'em, the skill in the game of poker is minimizing the luck factor. The luck factor is always going to be there, right? The cards are always going to be, you're going to deal with the randomness that is in the poker cards. But an expert poker player minimizes the risk that they are taking, and that's how they tend to win more money over time than other poker players, because they're successfully mitigating and lowering the risk factor, okay? So there's always randomness when it comes to injuries. But when you bring in a bunch of guys with injury histories and you pay so you get a discount on them, they are still more likely to get injured than other guys. And then at some point, and I don't know about this, I don't know the details of the Miami Dolphins strength and conditioning program, but at a certain point, you have to also look at that and go, is that something that played a role in how all of these guys got hurt? Because it's a lot of guys that got hurt and a lot of guys with very similar sort of non-contact injuries. It's one thing if it's like a fluky thing, a guy fell on your leg or whatever and this happened or that happened. It's another thing when you're dealing with a lot of non-contact injuries. And so it's a question about what is the load management here? What is going on in practice? What is going on in training and behind the scenes? I'm not suggesting that there is an issue with the Dolphins strength and conditioning program. But I'm also not saying that there's no blame to go around. So while there is certainly randomness to injuries, there is also a certain degree of ownership that the Dolphins have to have of it because of the fact that they brought in the players that they brought in. I'll just say that. And I've said that before. But again, and this is the thing that's so frustrating, injuries are not why they lost to the Buffalo Bills. Injuries are not why they lost to the Tennessee Titans. yes, though there were injuries involved and those played a factor, but the game, both of those games were right there for the Dolphins to win. I mean, and they didn't do it. That's the thing that's frustrating. Yeah, I would say that the injuries have significantly lowered this team's ceiling. I think if the Dolphins run into the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs, they have less than a 5% chance of winning that game. In Baltimore, forget it, right? So I think there's very little chance the Dolphins are getting beyond that. Could they beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Sure. I think this Miami Dolphins team could beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think, like, really going up against the elite of the elite in the AFC, and really that's, I'm talking specifically about the Baltimore Ravens, I don't think that's something that the Dolphins have the ability to do at this point because of how beat up this team was. You saw them before they dealt with all of these injuries. And, I mean, yeah, they had lost Xavien Howard, but before they lost Bradley Chubb, before they lost Andrew Van Ginkle, they were still getting blown out of the water by the Baltimore Ravens. So their ceiling has been impacted, Brain, but that's not the reason that they didn't win this past week against Buffalo. And it's, I don't think injuries are going to be the reason that I think they're probably going to end up falling short in Kansas City either.
Well, I agree, but injuries are the reason why there's no hope.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that if this team
was I don't think this team's winning the Super Bowl anymore. There's just no chance that that's going to happen.
Yeah. And you can argue that even if they were 100% healthy, they wouldn't be a Super Bowl contending team. And, you know, who knows? But you could make that argument. What I'll say is that I would give them a puncher's chance if they were healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think they have a puncher's chance. I think they have maybe a puncher's chance to win a playoff game. And that's about it. A puncher's chance to do it. I think they're facing an extremely uphill battle against a tested team with a really good defense, with a seasoned quarterback and seasoned coach that's going to have a game plan for a defense that looks broken and a game plan for a weather environment that they've played in many times, that they know how to handle, that the Dolphins really are not ready for. I'm not saying that the Dolphins aren't necessarily equipped for it, because it doesn't look like it's going to be snowy or windy, but it's going to be extremely cold. And I just don't think that the Dolphins are used to it. And I just think that it's not even just about the weather. It's about what this team has looked like every time they've gone up against a legitimate Super Bowl caliber defense. The offense has, you know, failed to put up really, I guess 20 points has been the high watermark. Like what they put up against Buffalo in their first game against Buffalo. So I just don't think it's going to be good enough. It's disappointing. It is what it is, but you know what? We're grieving.
So I want to, another question I want to ask you, because there's a lot of consternation right now going around about Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In light of this game, how are you feeling about the two of them right now? And again, I don't want to make this a big picture conversation yet, because the season's not over. There's still another game to play, at least. Yeah. But in light of this game, and in like, we're just, there's a lot of people here in the chat as we're live, you know, saying that, you know, and a lot of people on Twitter today, Tua's not the guy. Mike McDaniel is not the guy. I mean, Mike on the post game show last night called Mike McDaniel a bottom five NFL coach. I thought at the moment, maybe that's a little extreme.
I think it's extreme.
But, you know, where are you at on Tua and Mike McDaniel at this moment in time?
So I think it's two very different conversations. There's some overlap in that I think both are not ready. And I think that both have potential to get better based on where they are in their careers and what we've seen from them in their track record. I think that it's not like Tua has reached the cap of what he's going to be. And it's not like Mike McDaniel has reached the cap of what he's going to be as a head coach. What I'll say is that it takes a lot of coaches, particularly, in my opinion, offensive-minded coaches, creative head coaches. It takes them, in my opinion, longer to really develop into a Super Bowl head coach. And part of that is putting the ego aside of being the brilliant play caller, because being the brilliant play caller almost always over the last 20, 30 years in the NFL, hell, even going back, you could probably go back to the 80s, and being the new hot offensive mind has pretty much always been synonymous with an exciting passing game. And because of that, you see a lot of these exciting head coaches that their blind spot is failing to commit to the running game, because they fall in love with the passing game, because you get more yards per play by passing the football. Therefore, passing the football is the more efficient play statistically. And you're not going to argue with that. You can't argue with the numbers. However, it's been shown time and time again that to truly be a great offense, when it matters most, you have to be balanced. You have to be able to run the football at least a little bit when you need to. We've seen outstanding offenses in this league come up short in the playoffs time and time again because they don't have the ability to run the ball or commit to the run. We saw it happen throughout Peyton Manning's career. We saw it happen throughout Dan Marino's career. We saw it happen with some of those, you know, some of those Rams teams. Even the Rams team that actually won the Super Bowl on the backs of their defense, because they really, when push came to shove, went up against a team that slowed them down because they insisted on trying to pass the ball, and they arguably shouldn't have even been in the Super Bowl because Emmanuel, what was the guy? Bird Emmanuel's incomplete pass that should have been a catch from the Tampa Bay Bucks in the NFC Championship game. I digress. Mike McDaniel, you look at Andy Reid. Andy Reid took forever to get to a Super Bowl, let alone win a Super Bowl. And the criticism always was great offense, consistently gives up on the running game. It's going to take Mike McDaniel time. The difference is that Mike McDaniel has proven to be a very, very bright mind as a play caller. He is more so than any coach that the Dolphins have had since Shula, a difference maker when it comes to strategy and X's and O's. I would hang my hat on that and say, this is a guy that will continue to grow into his position and will be a very good coach for a long time. I feel confident in that. The problem is, and I said this when they hired him, even if he was the brightest coach, even if he's the right hire, will he be a Super Bowl caliber coach at the time that this window is ready for this team to be a Super Bowl caliber team? Because this team was built to be a Super Bowl caliber team right off the jump. And now we're there from a talent perspective the last couple of, well, Maybe not. But we're close from a talent perspective, and he's still going through the growing pains. Now, Tua is a good quarterback. He makes throws that not every quarterback can make. This argument about Tua's arm talent and arm strength is so 2021. Tua is a good quarterback. He has gotten better every year. Is Tua a perfect quarterback? Is Tua a top five quarterback? I don't know. Frankly, I think there's about three or four quarterbacks in this league that are elite quarterbacks, And then there's a group of probably about 10 to 12 quarterbacks that are kind of the same. And it's all kind of dependent on putting them in the right system with the right players around them and the right coach. And I think Tua's in that group. But I think he's a good quarterback that you can win with. And he's clearly the best quarterback that we've had on this team since Dan Marino. And so the argument isn't whether or not Tua is good enough to win. Sure, you want to argue that? Fine. Whatever. It's a debate. But the argument should be, how much do you pay the guy? And what's the contract look like? Because there's no doubt he deserves to get paid. It's just, how much do you pay him, and what's the opportunity cost? Like, who are you not paying to pay him? And then if you don't pay him, where are you then pivoting to? And that's a conversation that we'll have in the off season, probably in about a week. but you know, we can wait on the big picture about that and going through down the list of all the huge decisions that the Dolphins need to make this offseason about guys that need to be brought back, guys that need to be extended, guys that need to be cut, guys that need to be maybe be shopped around or traded. We'll get into all of that probably in about a week or two. But until now, or until then, let him finish writing the story of the 23-24 season, because, you know, stranger things have could happen than Tua playing a good game and beating the Chiefs. Because like we said, if Tyreek Hill catches that one ball and runs in for a touchdown, suddenly your entire opinion of the way that that game ended from a Tua perspective looks completely different. So I'm willing to let this thing play out, and then we'll have the big picture talk about Tua. But I feel confident that Mike McDaniel is a baseline good coach.
I'm very curious to see how things go next week, because there is a narrative building for good reason that Tua comes up small in the big spots.
It's fair.
Almost always happens. I think when I think of Tua coming up big in big spots, I think of and when I'm talking about coming up big in big spots, I'm talking specifically about games, you know, in the home stretch of the season when it matters the most. And I think the biggest example that stands out as the outlier right now is the game he played at Buffalo towards the end of last season. Because the game that Tua played at Buffalo last year was a great game. He played a great game in adverse conditions, That's the one example of him really coming up big. Dolphins fell short. Again, there were some play calling issues in that one. Some Mike McDaniel stuff, some getting away from the run kind of stuff in there. And then he also had the Dallas game this year. But he only needed to come up big enough to get him into a field goal situation. But he did well. He did well in that spot. But otherwise, there's been a lot of big spots. And in December and January, and this is the same old Dolphins thing, the best teams play their best football in December and January, and Tua objectively has played his worst football in December and January, at least in the pros. So there's still time for that narrative to change, because there's another game next week. But I'm also not going to say that I'm holding my breath that everything's going to change. I want to end by saying one little thing here, because this is apparently still a thing. Because this was a heartbreaking loss. And as there is a heartbreaking, anytime there's a big heartbreaking loss from the Miami Dolphins, people get upset. And particularly people get upset in social media land. Okay. And again, I want to preface this by saying I'm not telling anybody how they should be a fan. But one of the things that I cannot stand that some fans do is that when somebody has something objective to say, an objective criticism of the football team, like, for example, saying that Tua tends to come up small in the biggest moments in December and January. That is not a subjective statement. That is not opinion. That is fact. When you look at the statistics, that's a fact. But then you'll have somebody, you'll say that out loud, and you'll have somebody come up and say something like, why don't you move to Buffalo and become a Bills fan? How dare you turn on the team like this? Why don't you go cheer for another team if you don't like it? My friends, if there is one thing that I, Josh Katzker, am never going to do, it's turn my back on the Miami Dolphins. I spend so much time and energy thinking about this team. So I pour so much emotion into cheering for this team. I spend money on Miami Dolphins gear. I support other businesses that are inspired by the Miami Dolphins. I love the Miami Dolphins with every fiber of my being. And it is exactly because I love this team so much that I am not going to be afraid to speak up when I have criticisms about how the GM has handled certain things, or certain head coaching decisions, or certain things that players are doing, and certain things like that. I'm going to hold these players accountable, and I'm going to be upset about it, and I'm going to speak my mind. And you know why I speak my mind? Because I love this team so much. We've said it a million times. It's called the same old Dolphin Show, but there's no joy in calling them the same old Dolphins. But they're the same old Dolphins because they're the same old Dolphins. And I want nothing more than for them not to be the same old Dolphins. So if you're out there and you're the positive fan, tremendous. That's great. I am so happy for you that you can look at the team and say, well, there's things that are wrong, but whatever. You know what? I'm happy. If you can look at this season right now in the moment, immediately 24 hours after the loss to Buffalo, and say, it's all good because this team made the playoffs 2 years a row for the first time in 20 years. That's progress. We're doing great. If that's the way that you look at it, that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you because you're not wrong about that being a true fact and that being great. But you have to understand where I'm coming from. That this team was destined for better things than limping into the playoffs as a wild card in the sixth seed. This team was destined for better than that. And as they have so often done, they have fallen apart. Injuries play a part of it, but so does the quarterback coming up small and the head coach not being able to get out of his own way. And those things happen. And that's why we are where we are. And that's why they're the same old Dolphins again. And again, the same old Dolphins doesn't mean that it's exactly the same as it's ever been. And that this is why they fall short. And it's exactly the same. And blah, 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 blah. Same old Dolphins is 3-game lead in the division with a month to go and failing to win the division. Same old Dolphins. That's the same old Dolphins thing to do. So if you're out there and you're the positive, you're one of those positive people and you spin it in a positive way, good for you. But please don't criticize people who are shouting about objective things that are perhaps wrong with the team. And if somebody is sharing their opinion, you don't shout them down and tell them they're wrong for thinking that. Okay? Relax. Everybody loves this team, and that's why people are upset. Because we love the team so much. We're not turning our backs on the team. We're not fake fans because we criticize the team. We love this team. All right? Go Dolphins. Brain, anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Just to piggyback on that. When you love someone, they don't always treat you right.
as Dolphins fans, as a community, we really should be in a support group because we're all in a very abusive relationship. This team abuses us every year. So when you get upset about a person complaining about the team that they love consistently disappointing them, I mean, like, open up your heart a little bit and have some compassion. Because I think it makes more sense for the person who's been abused time and time again to feel that hurt and to be disappointed and to be angry. I think that reaction makes a lot more sense than the person that says, oh, don't worry, it'll work out. Because frankly, if you were in a bad relationship and you were going to somebody for advice and you were like, oh, I'm in this really abusive relationship, this person just consistently lets me down, just when I think that they're kind of turning the corner and, you know, they're really improving and they're turning a new page and they're really becoming the person that I really hope that they could be, they turn around and they break my heart again. If you told that person, hey, don't worry, it'll be fine, you're a bad friend. Don't be a bad friend.
That's a great point. Thanks, Bryn. And just to be clear, we're not making light of anybody who is in that kind of emotionally abusive relationship. We're not making light of that. We're just drawing a parallel.
No, okay? We're saying, like, you need to hold your partner's feet to the fire.
That's
right.
You
need to hold them accountable. And you
hold
need
them
to
accountable.
Work. You need to work on things.
Relationships you take work. You gotta work to make these things work out, right?
If you're not willing to put in the work to really change it, then it might be time to move on. So if you're really the delusional fan, instead of telling the person that's pissed off and having the rational reaction to being hurt over and over and over again, and telling them that they're turning their back on the team, maybe you should look inward and say, maybe I need to hold my team more accountable and hold their feet to the fire instead of just blindly supporting them and enabling this behavior.
I couldn't have said it better myself. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. We have at least one more episode to go before the Dolphins are done playing this year. We'll be back later this week to preview the Dolphins' wild card matchup, a game against the Kansas City Chiefs, a game which, ironically, a lot of people were saying beforehand that they were kind of preferring that the Dolphins would play because they thought the Dolphins would have a better chance of winning against the Chiefs than they would against the Bills. And I've got a whole other monologue about that. But regardless, this is the situation that we're in. Dolphins traveling to Kansas City on Peacock. Pay your $6, get Peacock, and watch the game. But we'll be back with you later this week to preview it here on the Same Old Dolphin Show. We'll have a lot of great stuff coming your way also on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter at AmplifiedRock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron. The Brain, that's almost an old school thing now, Brain. I haven't said that in a long time. At Same Old Dolphins. And we will catch you later this week. And whatever you got to do to make peace with where we're at, do it. Figure it out. And we'll be here alongside you later this week. So take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
can't believe I have to waste a perfectly good Saturday night to watch this team one more time.
We're rooting for the Dolphins. I'm mighty, mighty Dolphins.